take our Romans, the book of Romans. We're in chapter 15 again. It's 14, rather, 14. Those that are listening to us, try to give us a call. Call us at 856-261-9018. 856-261-9018. Give us a call or email questions@bftbc.org. Questions@bftbc.org. Romans chapter 14. Last time we stopped at verse 17, so we'll begin with verse 18. 14 and verse 18, 19, and 20. Let's read those three verses together. For he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith we may edify one another. Romans 14, 20. As I announced previously. For meat destroy not, ruineth your crop, for all things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. 1 Corinthians, we're in Romans chapter 14, and beginning of verse 18. All right. 14, 18. Mm-hmm. He that in these things, who's the he referring to here? Who's the he referring to? For believers in Rome and by application to Christian believers today. So he that in these things, what things is he referring to there? Said before, probably in verse 17, not in meat and drink, but in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Those are the things that he's talking about. And so in these things, serveth Christ. Service means what? Pardon me?
Services. I can't.
Render services. You know where we are, Edith? Romans 14 and verse 18. What does it mean? How do believers, genuine Christians, serve Christ? How do you go about it?
First and foremost, to be obedient to his word, which means loving others.
Mm-hmm.
As Christ has loved us.
Right. Obedience
loving our enemies.
That's right. So obedience.
And doing works unto him.
All right. All things unto him.
Yeah.
All right. That's obedience. And serving the Lord. He that serveth the Lord. Notice it says serving Christ. What's the difference between serving men and serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Was that during the will of God? Can the unbelievers serve Christ? No, they don't know how to serve the Lord. The only ones that are genuine Christians can serve Christ. You have something after that?
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Like
no.
That, meaning like, yeah, only those.
Yeah, that's good. So now, those in these things that serve Christ, regardless of whether you're in trouble or difficult or anything else, if you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, it says it's acceptable to God. What does acceptable mean?
Pleasing.
All right. It's agreeable, and God accepts and receives our service. Now, if we're not serving Christ, does God promise to receive that service? It doesn't say it's acceptable, does it? Do some people serve themselves? Some people serve their families, serve their country. Now, sometimes we serve, but I mean, this service is spiritual service, isn't it? We serve people regularly, we help people to live and to do what they can, but this is serving Christ, acceptable to God. And then it says approved of men. Now, what's the difference? Acceptable to God and approved of men. What's the difference? Is there a difference?
Yes.
Shouldn't be.
Yeah, there
is. Tammy?
One is pleasing God, the other is pleasing man.
Okay. Now let me ask you this. When you serve God acceptably, is it always pleasing man?
No. No. Sometimes even unbelievers, they like, if you do some kind of a good work, they recognize that.
Sometimes they do.
That it is a good work.
That's right.
They might not even know God.
And sometimes they don't. Under what conditions, when we please God, does the world and unbelievers hate us? Under what conditions? Give me some examples of pleasing God. Bill?
When you mention Jesus Christ.
In swearing?
No, anything at all.
They mention
they like
Jesus Christ.
We swear.
They Jesus Christ. Why do they say Jesus Christ in swearing and blasphemy when they don't even believe in him?
Yeah.
It's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
If we mention the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, the world may think, don't talk about that. What other things might suggest the Bill the Second? Will.
Sin.
When you call sin, sin. Like gay marriage. When you call sin, sin, the world hates us. They'll burn down our churches for it. See? Terrible. Lois?
Yeah, I was just...
You forgot? Okay. It'll come to you. other things. In other words, when we preach the Bible, God, the gospel, and we do that which is pleasing the Lord, many times people are not pleasing to us at all. They want other types of things. Also, what if you stand for the King James Bible? Does the world love that? No, very few people stand still with us. Some do, but a lot of them despise it. Standing.
Some people that aren't saved will use the King James Bible, but then the people that are Christians, they'll say, go and use the modern versions.
Yes.
They're what's
in. That's right. Even the non-Christians don't use the King James, but the others. So we've got to have these two things. Now, if you had to choose between two, pleasing God or pleasing man, which should you choose?
Pleasing
God. That's very important. Acceptable to God and approved to God, approved to men. Acceptable and approved. Then in verse number 19, let us. Who's the us referred to there?
True believers,
true Christians. Therefore, why is it therefore? Let us, therefore.
For this reason,
because we've just talked about it, because we've talked about it in the first preceding verse, therefore, follow after things to make for peace. Follow means what?
Pursue.
What is it?
Do.
I couldn't hear, what is it?
Pursue,
that's right. Do these things and follow these things, pursue these things, act about these things, different things. So we're following things which make for peace. So how would you define peace? What is it?
Opposite of war.
No fighting, no bickering, no struggling. What is it?
Quietness and tranquility.
Peace and tranquility, that's right.
Peace is the cessation of conflict.
Cessation of conflict, that's right. Now, in Russian, Khrushchev, I believe it was, years ago, used the Russian word and said, I am for peace. But that word for peace, whether it's mir, I think it's mir, but I'm not sure.
M-I-R.
Yeah, and that same thing in Russian also means something else.
I don't know Russian.
Let's say, okay?
The war.
It means war. Yeah, it's a war. So it depends on how you use the spelling and the pronunciation.
Innocent world.
Oh, I want the world. Okay. That's the world. Thank you, Anna. So, in other words, it means peace, but also it means the world. So when it says he wants peace, if you interpret the other way, the other meaning, he wants the whole world. He wants to take over the whole world. Anyway, but, yes, fine.
He said, was it peace?
Well, that's what the communist. That's what the communist said. Was that Lenin? Was it Stalin? I don't remember which Russian. Khrushchev. Was it Khrushchev? Promises and treaties are made like pie crust, made to be broken. That's what he said. Yes.
Would that mean that they would be eating their own words?
Eating their own words. That's good. Promises. That's right. Eating their own words. Yes, Jonathan.
Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Is that an immediate, quick peace, or is that a permanent peace?
Well, probably both. Temporary and permanent. Things that make for peace. We know that, let's say Romans 5:1 together. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When does that peace come to the person that accepts the Lord Jesus? Immediately upon being saved. So that's a current peace. John, and then back to Jonathan.
I think from my reading the history, I believe that Nikita Khrushchev, he's probably the most anti-Christian evil leader Russia ever had, because here when he became the Russian leader, persecution of Christians was even worse under him than it was under Stalin.
That's interesting. Yeah, Jonathan.
I guess what I'm trying to get at, follow after the things which make for peace.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the kind of peace like the Muslims say, okay, we don't want you to draw these cartoons. Oh, okay, we won't draw the cartoons. And we don't want you to wear flowery clothes. That's an offense to it. Okay, we won't wear flowery clothes. And just all the things to say, and we don't want you to say anything bad about Mohammed. You can't preach anything.
And if we follow that rule, then what do we call that? What do Christians call that if we follow all that they say?
Sharia law.
Well, say a lot, but what is it?
Submission.
Compromise and submission. That's right. Compromise.
But is that real peace, is my point? Well, is that true peace or is that a false peace?
Well, that's a false peace. Now, you see, once you follow Sharia law, once you say that bestiality is all right, once you say sex with animals, once you say pedophilia is all right, you have sex with little children, once you follow Sharia law, there's no end to it. Once you say women can't vote, women can't drive a car, women can't separate from their husbands, I mean, walk out in the street alone, you're in trouble. But if you let any of that go, whether it's just drawing the picture of Muhammad or anything else, you let one single thing tells us we can't have the First Amendment, religious liberty, and preaching the Bible, all the truth of Scripture, we're in serious trouble. We're in trouble right now because Obama says, throw out the First Amendment. He's going to crack down on religious liberty, freedom of speech, the whole thing. We're in serious trouble. So we shouldn't give in to the Muslims. In July 20th,
we're not going to have peace.
That's right. But the only thing the Muslims and the terrorists want, when they kill and behead and hang all the Christians and the people they're opposing, that's their kind of peace. But that's not our kind of peace. When the Lord Jesus rules in Jerusalem in the millennial reign of Christ, how many years will he rule?
1,000 years.
What kind of situation will be there?
Peace.
What's one of the names of the Lord Jesus?
Prince
of Peace. Prince of Peace. So these are very important things. And
That's because he's going to rule with a rod of iron.
Rule with a rod of iron.
He can't do anything.
He's going to be enforcing the thing. But after the devil round is, remember, where was the devil in the 1,000 years? Where is he? He's chained. He's chained and bound for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, what happens to the devil?
He's loosed and goes to hell.
No, he's loosed first. First he's loosed. And after he's loosed, what does he do? Rebellion. Where is he going to head rebellion?
In Israel.
That's right. Why is he going to Israel? Who's reigning in Israel?
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus Christ. So he's going to lay up all these people. Now, during the millennium, they had to do right and act right and everything else because he's ruling with a rod of iron. But their hearts, many of them are lost and bound for hell. When the devil comes, they'll follow the devil. What's the Lord Jesus going to do at the battle there? Who's going to win, the devil or Christ?
Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ will win.
Now, after the millennium, then Satan's going to be loosed.
No, that's right. At the end of the millennium.
And then he's going to start all over again?
No, he's going to start war in Jerusalem just like he did the Battle of Armageddon. Yes. Before the tribulation, before the 1,000 years. He's going to do it again. He's going to try again. What is that saying?
If at first you don't succeed.
No, that's one thing, but if you have the same things you did before, it didn't work then. What's going to happen? What is it saying? What is it saying? We have great will.
If you keep repeating the same thing over and over and over again, expecting
different results. Insanity.
It's a definite good. That's what I was looking at. There's different insanity. I had to remember.
He's right. That's right. What they
people
say.
Don't do that.
Now, when the devil is put down, then where is he cast? He's in the bottomless pit of fire. The lake of fire. Who's there with him?
The devil and his angels.
The devil's angel, the beast, the false prophet, the devil's angel. And notice, they were cast in.
Demons is what they are.
Where were the devil and his angels cast in? At the beginning of the millennium, they're cast in. And it says in the book of Revelation, Satan is cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. Now wait a minute, they're cast in 1,000 years before. Why are they still there? What does that mean? They've kept on going. So you see, just because they're in the lake of fire, they're not going to burn up. God's going to give them some sort of asbestos bodies that will stay and say they'd be in pain, but they're not going to vanish away. So this is, how do we get on that?
All after peace.
All right, talk about peace. Okay. But he's the Prince of Peace. One day, 1,000 years, he'll reign. Now, do people on this earth believe there's going to be peace for 1,000 years on this earth?
No.
No, people don't generally believe it. If you don't believe the Bible, you don't believe it's possible. Look at all the wars we've had. Look at all the wars we're still in. Look at all these battles. But if you believe God, now can God lie?
Yeah. No.
Well, he can lie. He's absolutely without lie. So if he says in his word, should we believe it?
Yes.
We must believe it. And so the things that make for peace. And things whereof one may edify one of. What does edify mean?
Build up.
Build up. What does it come from? Edify. Like an edifice. What is an edifice?
A building.
A building. So edify, the phi means make, ed, make a building, so building up like a building, that's right. Is it very much work to build a building?
Yes.
A lot of work. Is it easy to edify one another? How should we edify one another? Who's the one another? Saved or lost?
Saved.
Christian or non-Christian? Saved. Christian people. How do you go about, go ahead, John.
Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
Beginning of knowledge. The beginning of wisdom, beginning of knowledge, both. That's right, absolutely. So what is the basic educational standard that you use to edify one another?
The Word of God.
The Word of God, the Scripture. The Bible, well, the Scripture, the actual foundation. But you need courage, that's right, courage. Now, when you edify one another, does the one another always like what you're saying?
No.
No. Why don't they like what you're saying?
Because it's not agreeable to them.
Not agreeable, not what they say. Tammy?
Might be afraid.
What's that, Anna?
No, that was Anthony.
Oh, Anthony, what'd you say?
Oh, I said they might be offended.
Okay, Tammy?
Sometimes they're not ready to receive the Word of God.
That's right. Now, go ahead, Bob.
How do you know edifying someone? How do you know when you're supposed to start edifying? It usually hurts their feelings.
Well, that's what I say. Does everybody like edification?
If they're ready to receive, I mean, how do you know when you should just barge in and start edifying?
That's what Tammy said. Normally they don't receive. Yeah. Anna, then Pastor Dan. Pastor Dan first, go ahead. Age before beauty. Good, Dan.
Okay. Build an edifice. You have a foundation you start on. So
right.
Before you start edifying, making the edifice, you have to have an established foundation.
Yeah.
And so you have to have a foundational relationship with somebody.
Right.
That's good.
Before you come out and start, you can't put a 50th story out of the building until you build the foundation.
That's good.
In the first story, one, story two.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get the superstructure built up first.
Right.
Foundation, superstructure, then you start adding everything else to it, then you start finishing the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon you're working on it.
That's good. Anna.
Well, I just wanted to say that sometimes that has to do with how you say something sometimes.
Yeah. Not what you say, but how you say it. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, John.
I heard a quote this morning that really touched me. All growing things respond to care.
Mm-hmm.
Are benefited. All growing things are benefited by care.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we edify? Just care for somebody and they will be benefited and they will grow.
Mm-hmm.
If they want.
Yeah. We go to a restaurant every Saturday that now has a garden. It has steaks in the garden with little cans on top of steaks. So I counted 15 rows and at least 10 rows rather than 15 of these steaks in each row. 150 different steaks. They planted those things and they're starting to grow now. They're little things, whether they're corn or whether it is. You have to have tomatoes and various things. But you have to have a foundation, as Dr. Dan says, before you can find it. Now, it must be based upon the scripture. Who is qualified to edify one another? What are your qualifications, or should be the qualifications? First of all, born again Christian. What's that, Anthony?
You should know the subject that you're discussing.
All right, so the subject. And what subject should be the foundation of your edification?
The Scriptures.
The Bible. So it should be biblical truth. Now, do all people like to accept biblical truth?
No.
Should they accept biblical truth?
Yes.
And should, if they're genuine Christians, if they're saved, they're genuine Christians, they should accept it. But why don't people accept biblical truth?
They don't agree with their own thinking.
They don't accept it, so on and so on. So, edify one another, build up one another. Now, let me ask you this. Are there not some people that want to be edified, want to be built up?
Yes.
And they're seeking people. Would you help me? There's some people that are all bogged down with everything. They want to be built up and encouraged. That's part of it. Building up is encouraging edifying. So we quote a verse every Sunday morning in our service in 2 Timothy 4. How does it go? Preach the word, the answer in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That exhorting, see, that's part of edification and building up and encouraging, see, so we have to do that. edify one another. And then in verse 20, for meat, destroy not the work of God. Now, what does the meat refer to in this context? I think we had it last week and the week before. It's the food. Now, what was the battle of the meat here?
Do we have any? When they really give the meat to, on the altar, whatever they're preaching to.
Like for offered idols. So we thought it, that was the meat. Now, do we have any battle with meat with Wendy's today?
No.
No battle.
You didn't get your meat?
Well, I didn't get my meat for a while. In fact, they said they're going to cook it for 6 minutes. I'll bring it over to you. So I waited 6 minutes, six more minutes. I told my wife, where is it? She said, honey, go get it yourself. So I went and got it, obedient to my husband, my wife, you know. Went to get it myself, and the colored lady who said, I want to bring it out to you, she said, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot all about it. She promised she's going to bring it to me after 6 minutes because the chicken wasn't quite ready.
Yes,
so I sat there and drank water.
She's busy giving all our seniors the fingers so that we can
that's right. Exactly
this
right. Because you'd already had your finger. You'd be sitting in the throat going over there. Okay. Where were we?
19.
Quiet, meat. Now, as Anthony said, there was a battle with people that... 14, 20. The battle was with the people that offered meat to idols. And some Christians said, if it's offered to idols, we shouldn't eat it. Others said, no, it doesn't bother me. I will eat it. So there's a battle between one and the other. And so for meat, destroy not the work of God. What does that mean?
For meat. Go against the word of God.
Okay.
Don't argue
with it. All right. The meat shouldn't be a battle. Okay, Tammy?
You don't want to cause your brother to stumble.
Don't want your brother to stumble. Thank you for that.
We should be able to exercise Christian liberty.
Uh-huh. That's right. And
meaning that some people aren't going to, they might want to eat the meat, and other people, they would be offended. They don't
want to. So if you have some people who say, I eat the meat offered to idols, no problem. The other Christians say, I have a problem. What should the Christian do that is going to eat meat? What does the scripture say earlier in chapter 14?
Make peace.
Make peace.
Agree to disagree, maybe.
Don't eat it. Don't stumble from your brother. Make your brother do a fan. That's right. You should. So that's a little bit hard on us, isn't it, sometimes? We want to do things.
Because you want the meat.
Right. So we sometimes have to change our ways if it makes our brothers and sisters in Christ to stumble and be offended. And that's not always easy. Now let me ask you this. If what we're doing is biblical, should we ever change biblical facts?
No.
Follow the Bible, see, regardless if people stumble or not. See, if we think the scriptures are very clear, don't commit adultery and don't lie and don't steal. I mean, people say, oh, it's all right. Wait a minute. Let them stumble. They're not, I don't know, Christians that go agree with that. Maybe there's some Christians that do.
Yes, so then what they're saying is if they were a Christian and they were still eating the meat, they were saying, I didn't sacrifice this. I'm not thinking there's anything wrong with this
right.
meat, right?
So they were free to eat it. That's right.
Okay.
But the other one says, it hurts me.
Yeah.
So if there's a battle, if people just don't eat it, go somewhere to a different grocery store or to a different diner.
And don't judge that person.
Don't judge this sort of, it's hard sometimes to do that. Tammy?
Well, the Apostle Paul kind of gave an overview of his own life. I'm not sure if that was in 1 Corinthians 10 or if it was in this passage.
Mm-hmm.
Where it says that meat maketh my brother to sin.
I'll eat
only meat no longer as long as we are sin.
Well, the world's sin. You're right. That's very good. So Paul was a very good actor and obedient in that.
He didn't want to destroy the work of God.
Right. Now, what does it mean in verse 20? For me, because of this situation with me, destroy not the work of God. What work is he talking about here?
Peace.
Could be peace. What is he talking about? Could be the church. What else? What is it? What's that, Bill? Well,
I said the building up of the church.
Building up the church, all right. What else might be the work of God?
Wouldn't it be that God made the cow that they sacrificed?
What could be the cow they sacrificed? What else could it be? What are born again, saved, true Christians called?
The church.
The church, and are they a work of
yes,
God?
Yes, a work of God.
Is there a work that God has made? He's made this. So it could refer, could it not, destroy not other Christians who are a work of God that are offended if you eat this sacrificial meat offered to idols. Destroy not. Then it says all things in me are pure. What does that mean? All things in me are pure.
Does that refer to the fact that the Jews wouldn't eat things that weren't like kosher?
It could be not kosher, yes, sir. But as far as Christians are concerned, do we have kosher versus not kosher?
Mm-hmm.
Christian, we don't care. But, you know, sometimes it's good to follow those kosher rules.
Those kosher rules are good rules.
They're good rules. They certainly are, see. But we probably wouldn't be offended. Oh, what this one thing about kosher, what do they do particularly?
They pray.
Drain the blood. They take the blood out. What are the four things in the book of Acts, chapter 15, that the Council of Jerusalem said for the Christians today, don't do? What are they?
Fornication.
No fornication.
No blood.
No drinking, breathing blood.
Nothing strangled.
Nothing strangled.
Things
alive. We should have a lot
of what is the fourth one?
Acts
15. The Jerusalem Council. Fornication. Things strangled.
From idols.
From idols. Idolatry. See, those are the four things. And one of them is don't eat blood. And if it's not kosher, there's blood all over. Bloody meat, see. So that's, so kosher not all that bad, that's for sure. But these things here.
Aren't chickens killed by strangling them?
I'm not sure how chickens are killed, are they? That could be.
I don't know.
There's blood when you cut their heads off.
Oh, they, we should cut their heads off, do they?
My mother did it every week.
Down the line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good meat.
Well,
yeah,
it's
meat.
You know, chicken's fat.
Because I know that
it's fat.
They do Germany.
In Germany?
And that's blood.
Yes.
So is that against the law?
Against the Christian faith. That's in Acts chapter 15.
And
four things.
And you're not
that's where you eat blood. That's what you eat blood.
Oh,
what are four things again in Acts 15?
Christ made all things
clean. No fornication. No things sacrificed to idols.
No blood.
No blood.
Things strangled.
Those are things. So we're not supposed to eat those in the New Testament. You see, the Jews, what did they want to tell the Christians must do? What did they say they wanted to do, some of the Jews?
Put them back under the law
and have us all circumcised. See, just make them Jews out of them, see? But the people said, no, just four things to bring over. That's it. All right, so what does
it
mean?
Wait a minute, let me get this straight. Are you saying that what's written? We're not supposed to eat blood, so are you saying that if you order a steak, you have to cook it well done?
No, that was...
What are you saying?
No steaks.
No, but he just said New Testament. He just said New Testament.
New Testament, Acts chapter 15. That's right, Acts 15.
What's your first name?
Edith.
To Edith.
Yeah.
Because Edith was talking about how she's eating this German...
Right.
Not
blood bologna.
Right, blood bologna.
Blood bologna.
So my question is she, you're saying that she can or cannot eat the bologna?
Well, I shouldn't have
eaten. According to Acts 15, they were to do away with these four things. They don't have to keep all the law of Moses. That's what they
do.
The council decided that. The council decided don't keep all the law of Moses. But they had to keep four things. What are the four things again?
Fornication.
No fornication.
Meat sacrifice.
No sacrifice. Meat to idols. No idolatry.
Blood.
No blood.
And fornication.
No, and strangle things.
Strangle. Find it in the Bible. Where is it in the Bible?
Acts chapter 15.
So you're saying that this is the law that we should keep today.
Today, these are the things that we should keep out of the Old Testament. There's a lot of other things in the New Testament to keep. But these are the four things out of the Old Testament that are brought over. Laws, and then...
Okay, because the last time I was here, you were saying we're not under Mosaic.
We're not under Mosaic. Well, that's true.
Okay.
But just these four things. If they're repeated in the New Testament, see, these are repeated in the New Testament book of Acts. Laws, and then Tammy.
It's how they go about killing animals.
Mm-hmm.
If they drain the blood of the animal, that's why they do that.
That's why they do that.
They
drain the blood.
They cut the head off and they drain.
That's right.
Chickens, they cut the head off and drain.
That's right. So that's good. Yes, Tammy, and then Fawn.
That's how they're killed.
Right.
Yes. All right, Tammy.
Well, they were having conflict with the Jews and the Gentile believers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And there were Judaizers that were coming in and saying that they had to keep the entire law. So this mm-hmm. was what they agreed on
right.
at that particular point in time.
Right.
But it wasn't for their salvation.
No, no.
I mean, they wouldn't lose their salvation.
Right.
This was an agreement that the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers made.
Right. We covered that in our Thursday Bible study. Thursday Bible study, we covered that 15 chapters. Bonnie and then Jonathan.
Well, when I was a little girl.
You were once a little girl?
Yes, when I lived in LaGrange, Ohio, a little country town, and the neighbors, there was a yard between our house and the Tilbert's. And my mother says, oh, there's Mr. Tilbert killing the chicken. And he had it hanging from the, I thought it was a clothesline. And the chicken was dead, but it was moving. And some of them ran around
nerves.
Without heads.
That's right. Nerves.
Yeah.
But I remember this, but I didn't look too much. But that's my chicken story.
That's great.
Let me ask you a question.
Jonathan? Oh, excuse me. Go ahead, Anthony.
Were the chickens still at feathers on them when you saw them running around?
Yes.
Okay, let's see. Jonathan and then Antoinette. Jonathan, go ahead.
It says, for me to destroy not the work of God. And I just have a question. I'm not thinking of an answer, but how can we today, put this in effect today, how might we today destroy the work of God by food or by what we eat or something involved with food? Some way that we can hurt.
Pastor Dan, go give an answer.
Well, it's not always food. There could be other things. There's activities, the replacement might go. You know, innately, in and of themselves, some would argue there's nothing wrong with it, but there's a certain association that perhaps we're not aware of, that someone else knows about, something that was whatever it could be, you know. If once we're informed about a certain activity, that in and of itself, it's not a violation of Scripture to do or participate in or to go to,
mm-hmm.
but to perhaps for somebody else, in the past, they had a definite problem. It was for them, if they were to go to that place, there's a strong possibility that they would be brought into sin.
Right.
So right. It's not necessarily just meat or food.
Right. And for that, then, Tammy.
I'm just confused. I've never heard this before, and I just really wanted my question answered. And I think what I heard you saying was, it is wrong for Edith to have this German sausage. Am I correct in my thinking?
Well, according to Acts 15, those four things, you're not supposed to just drink in the blood as such. A lot of
people
do it.
She's not drinking blood. She's eating meat.
No, but there's all kinds of
blood in it.
It's cooked.
And it's cooked.
But all kinds of blood is in there, though, right?
Yeah.
It's cooked blood, but still blood. So.
Yeah, but anything that we eat that's like, say, you know, fish, or not fish, but like red meat, white meat, it's still meat.
Yes.
And it still has to be cooked.
Put it this way, Antoinette. I'm not going to stumble you if you want to eat red meat. I don't eat it. I like to keep it without the blood, but you can do what you want. Just like this thing here, for meat or for blood, don't stumble your people, see, but the scriptures were in Acts 15, it was very clear, not all the things of the book, the law of Moses, don't put them out of the law. Christians in this age of grace, there's four things, they decided, all of them agreed at the Council of Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15, no fornication, no thing strangled, no blood, and no offering to idols, worshiping idols. So that's just for the fourth thing. But we're not under the law of Moses in any way, except it's repeated in the New Testament. And these four things are repeated in the New Testament, so we follow those things as much as possible. Yeah, Bill.
When I was a little kid, I used to go to the...
You were once a little kid too,
I think. Yes. Back in the 1950s, when I used to go to the stores, in the meat cases, you saw the hamburger, you saw the beef, and there were puddles of blood underneath it. There was a lot of blood involved there. Today you don't see that in any of these stores. But if you go to the Amish stores, like out in Medford or Williamstown,
mm-hmm.
You'll see it.
Hmm.
There's a lot of blood in their meats there.
It's how they're killed. Let's get back to the verse here. The question is, all things indeed are pure. What does that mean? Verse 20. All things indeed are pure.
Well, the Jewish people are about to eat pork,
And then
they are?
They weren't an atheist.
They weren't, that's right.
And then when Peter was trying to follow them, yes. But then the Lord told them that.
That's right, for the Jews no longer have that particular diet. They still don't eat pork today, do they? Because Anthony.
All those old Jewish laws about food was because they didn't have refrigeration. Today with refrigeration, they go out the window.
All right.
That's how simple it is.
Yeah. Well, we're not under the Jewish laws of Leviticus 13 and 14.
Some Jewish people still don't eat.
Right. The Jews are under that law, but the Christian believers today under grace don't follow that. But we have to be wise in what we eat. Am I right?
We shouldn't eat too much, number one.
Let me tell you some of the things that are clean. They're clean. What did John the Baptist eat on the wilderness?
Locusts
and wild honey. Now, just because locusts are clean in the Old Testament, you going to eat locusts?
No,
not me. Yeah, who's going to get a hand up? Is it Bill? Oh, wait, Pastor Dan, go ahead.
The modern-day Jewish people, they choose to remain under the law because they've rejected the Messiah. That's their choice.
Yes.
They're not under the law. Mm-hmm. The law has been done away with at Calvary, but they've chosen to remain under the law.
Yes.
And the law has been done away with
right.
at Calvary. It's their choice. It's a rebellious choice mm-hmm. to think that they can do it themselves with their own works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bill.
The Jews are cracking in their beliefs, though, because they're the ones that invented turkey ham and turkey bacon.
That's innocent.
I know some Jewish people that eat bacon, but of course they're not going to follow. They follow the law, but in their religion, they love the Torah. They love the law.
Yeah.
Number one and number two, they go through that Yom Kippur and their time, so they have their own way of atonement, if you will. So it's not that they don't recognize that they're not. They know that they sin.
I was reflecting that after something my husband said, Pastor Dan, about the spiritual standards at certain churches that they used to have. Mm-hmm. It was for the very purpose of the leadership not causing those people within the church to stumble mm-hmm. and fall. And they would go to movies, they wouldn't do this, they wouldn't do this.
Right.
It wasn't because it was a legalistic type of thing.
Right.
It was to protect the weaker brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And those have been completely dropped.
Right. Not forget, Jonathan.
Things indeed are pure.
Okay, we're back to the pure. No more of the eating, no more of the blood, back to pure. That's what I'm trying to get at. What does that mean?
By him, all things indeed are pure.
What does that mean?
Well, that means it's, in a sense, initially holy, initially good. Just things by themselves. God created all things. And by him, Colossians 1:17.
Mm-hmm.
And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Mm-hmm.
We're all made, we're all held together by Jesus. Whether we acknowledge it, know it, and realize it or not,
mm-hmm.
we're really always benefited by Jesus, by Christ. And so, by him holding us, everything, the whole world together, it's all pure to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But most people don't realize and acknowledge it.
Now, Bill, and then Pastor Dan.
Even chocolate cupcakes.
Even chocolate cupcakes.
Yes.
Are pure.
We can eat them now, too.
You remember in the book of Philippians, it says, what sort of things are this, and this, and pure. This, and this? Pure is one of those things. What are we to do with it?
True.
Whatsoever things are honest.
Honest.
Whatsoever things are pure.
Good prayer, good report. What are we supposed to do with those things?
Think
on those things. See, and as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In other words, the things are pure. Pastor Dan, go ahead.
Well, I stole this verse contextually. It's talking about the meat.
The meat, that's right.
It says, because the beginning of the verse talks about the meat, in the middle of the verse talks about pure,
mm-hmm.
and then the verse talks about eating.
Eating with offense, that's eating. Right.
I mean, not that it doesn't apply to other things that
right.
it's called, identifies pure,
mm-hmm.
but the church or the saints, the genuinely born-again believers in Rome, they're getting this prettiness, and they're saying, it's the meat. All meat's pure.
Uh-huh.
But you can't eat with offense.
That's
after what I eat, or where I go, what I do, you know, it's going to be offensive to somebody that you don't eat it.
Right. Questions at vftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment or questions. I'd hear from you. Notice it says, all things were prohibited. It is evil for that man who eateth with offense. So define that evil. Eating with offense. Pastor Dan touched on it. What does that mean? Eating with offense.
You're against it.
All right.
And you're eating against it, not eating.
All right. If a person eats meat offered to idols and is offended by it, it's evil to him, so he doesn't want to do it, so he stays away. Tammy, got five?
Well, it's what's talked about at the beginning of the chapter, about him that is weak in the faith. She says, one believeth he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God received him. And then later on it said something about, verse 13, let us therefore not judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way.
Yes, very good. So we got stumble people. We want to be very careful. So verse 20, it's evil if a man eats with offense. So try to help the brethren, not to offend them, is what I think it's getting at there. Any other comments on 18, 19, and 20? Well, let's move on. Let's read 21, 22, and 23 together. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. But he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. By verse 20, good neither to eat flesh, or drink wine, or anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended of me. What does that verse mean? The last part of it is important, isn't it? Anything that maketh thy brother to stumble or be made weak.
Alright,
so eating flesh, what kind of flesh are you talking about in this context?
Offered
to idols. Don't eat it, don't do it if it's going to stumble the brother. What about drinking wine?
Same thing.
If it's going to stumble the brother, just lay off of it. Now, they may have had some wine that was offered to idols too. I don't know. It could be meat as well as the wine. So this could be it. So just lay off anything that would stumble. What's brother mean? Who's that referred to?
Christians.
Those are genuinely saved, true Christians, brothers. And then in verse 22, hast thou faith? What do you think that faith means?
Believe.
All right. What else?
Faith
what God will want you to do. That's right. Faith in the scriptures, faith in the Bible. Then it says, have it to thyself before God. Now, why is it saying that? If you have faith, have it to thyself before God.
You're responsible for yourself.
Responsible to God. All right.
Because they don't want you to throw it in that other person's face.
Well, I don't throw it in their face.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
To talk to God about it.
That's right. Jonathan, then Anna.
I always got this as, if you have faith, have it to yourself before God. Be at peace with God, what you allow yourself to do, and reconcile those things with her. Jesus was very much of common sense. What made sense to give? Even Jesus did things on the Sabbath because it made sense to do them on the Sabbath. And the disciples went through the field and put corn and ate it. He didn't say, oh no, you must not do that because of the law. Be at peace with God and work out with God what you allow yourself, and don't beat yourself up over all these little laws. Oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. I had a friend who was Jewish, and he wasn't really Jewish, but he was. He was trying to follow rabbinical teaching, even though he didn't really believe. Okay, and he was of the descendants of Judah.
he came home and he said, well, you can't do work on the Sabbath. Therefore, when you open the refrigerator and the light comes on, that's doing work. You got to take the light bulb out. So his father came home, opened it, and said, what happened? He said, I had to take it out. That's crazy. That's nonsense.
All right. I think when you have faith up to thyself, if a person thinks he can eat, oh, and I'm sorry, go ahead first.
Oh, well, I was just looking in Acts 15.
All right.
And verse 29.
Acts 15, 29.
This is from when they wrote the letter.
All right.
It says, also in verse 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. That ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well.
All right.
So I was just trying to understand how that's tied into the passage, because the list includes meats offered to idols, because it's actually the passage is discussing that, and what, anyway.
The verse I was referring to just said pollutions of idols, so it wasn't exactly clear. Which that clarifies that it was actually meat offered to idols, which is exactly
says that in 15,
what's going on.
Meat offered idols. Meat offered idols.
Yes. Yeah.
So now, as I understand this, if you have faith, in other words, some person says, I can offer or eat meat that's offered to idols. That's what your faith have it to yourself. Don't try to push that on others. But those people say, I can't eat meat offered to idols. See, but it's a personal faith. That's the thing. Keep it to yourself, whatever, on this meat situation. That's the situation. But then, what does this mean? Happy is he that condemneth not himself the thing which he alloweth. What does it mean, condemneth himself? Be guilty of something.
Be judged something.
All right. Happy is man that condemneth not himself.
And yeah, because maybe you think something's okay, and then somebody will come along and say, oh, you're supposed to be a Christian. You know, and it's like the timing of it and your emotions at the time. Mm-hmm. If you're not like, if you kind of feel a little bit insecure at that moment, you're going to like think about that, and then you're going to like feel guilty, even though you knew, well, I don't think there's anything wrong with whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? But if somebody comes along and like points a finger or judges and say, oh, well, you shouldn't be doing that. You're a Christian. You know, sometimes it can throw you off a little.
We've got to be careful what we do, lest we be condemned of ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. so we condemn ourselves.
Right.
Why did I do it? What was I thinking? I was a horrible witness.
Right.
How is that, you know, going to help somebody come?
Yeah, fine. And then, look.
What about fornication? We just can't go on.
Oh, no.
No.
Who's
like
saying that? Who's saying that?
Well, it's in the list. I know, but it's the same thing we're supposed to avoid.
Yes. Okay.
These are like sometimes gray areas.
All right, Lois and then Tammy. Lois, go ahead.
I think it's like if you go out with friends and they have dinner, they have wine, things like that. Then it's you're in a position where are you going to be doing this? And if you know in your heart that the chip is wrong, you shouldn't do it. And if you do it, then your heart's going to condemn you.
Okay.
Right. And then you need to pray about it.
Yes.
Talk to the Lord.
Yes. Try Tammy.
Well, it seems like this was the problem that was going on with the Jewish believers and Gentile believers.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps this chapter is even what's being written in answer to that, but it's interesting that the answer that they gave was that they abstained from things offered to meats offered to idols. That mm-hmm. was the bottom line.
Right.
So to abstain is there's no guilt there because there's nothing you're above reproach when you when it's not how close can we get to the world and still be a Christian. No, it's how far can we, you know, how close can we get to Christ and to His standard? The standard isn't the world, so we don't want to get right next to the edge and try to see how close we can get before we fall off.
Yeah.
We do also have freedom in Christ.
Yes.
In other words, we do have freedom in Christ. You can. bottom line, it's not going to be your damnation.
Well, the scriptures are very clear about Nephil. The scriptures are very clear on the word Nephil and Nephalias. Totally abstain from alcoholic things. And that's in scripture. Seven times it talks to old people, younger people, aggressive people.
I agree.
But the scriptures are very clear. Christians should have nothing to do with alcoholic beverages. That's what in the scripture. Nepho, Nephalias, two Greek words. But Pastor Dan, go ahead.
This girl was talking about meat, I believe.
Oh, she said you can drink a little wine, she said.
Okay.
I'm trying to answer that. The Bible says no.
Well, now I got like I said, it's a little windy back there. I didn't hear it.
Oh, okay.
And verse 28, getting back to what Anna was trying to make, the point, that there must have been some transitional principles that were being used in the book of Acts. And once you got into once you had the transition period end, then that's when meat was okay. In Acts chapter 15, it says don't eat meat, but in 1 Corinthians, in Romans, it seems like it's a matter of the liberty of the Christian whether they eat meat or not. And so the way to understand the scripture without looking at it as a contradiction. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to see. Anna brought this verse up, and I think I mentioned as far as it's very clear in the book of Acts during the transitional period of time before the book of Acts ended, before the time period in the book of Acts ended, this transitional time period, then it's very clear to abstain from meats, offered idols.
Mm-hmm.
But once that transitional time period ceased, then that is when it became an issue of Christian liberty.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, I'm not really sure of that, but it became a matter of Christian, because they were coming from the Old Testament law, and they were transitioning from the law into the time of grace.
Mm-hmm.
And so during that time of transition, there was a clear line to abstain from the offered idols.
In Acts chapter 15, the approximate date is AD 52. In Romans chapter 14, the approximate date is AD 60. So 8 years earlier was Acts. Now this is a later situation, and it's more established, isn't it? So what was that?
I'm not sure if the witness of this Acts 15 is this. Paul was the Peter in the first part of Acts.
James is the one to head that council.
It's got to be something to do with the transitional time period.
Yes, transition. Do you have one?
Well, none of us, I think, are eating meat off the idols.
Right? No, that's right.
And then pollution of idols.
The only
thing that people are doing all the time is fornication.
Yeah, they do it all the time.
I'm not doing it.
No, but people all the time. In schools, in elementary schools, in high schools, in colleges, and on the street, Christian people, churches, Christian schools, they're doing it. Fornication, wickedness, and sin.
Yes.
The idols, you know, the scriptures about idols, nothing, and so forth and so on, it's not necessarily the same, it's not your classical denotative definition of an idol. I mean, it can be, but it's not limited to a denotation definition of idol. In other words, we look up in the dictionary, what is an idol? An idol is this image made of a brass, stone, wood, or stone. Or, I guess I said stone. Brass, wood, or gold. This is what an idol is. And so, see, John. This is what an idol is. And so, the idea of having an idol in a denotative sense is one thing. Arguably, we don't have most parts of the country, we don't have those. But we have a connotative sense of an idol. I mean, as far as we have the God of this world, we have all sorts of things that are taking the place of God.
Yeah.
And so, that's the idea of an idol sometimes.
All right, thank you. Yeah, go ahead, Jacob. Go ahead. Jacob from Texas.
The application. All right.
Yes, Pastor, what year was 1 Timothy written? Do you know that?
Yes. 1 Timothy?
Yes, sir.
I don't know. 60 AD at all.
I'm looking here in verse 3 of chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 3. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth.
Sure. That's right. In other words, that's changing it, isn't it?
Yes, sir. I think what Pastor Dan said about the transitional period, that time in Acts.
Transitional period, that's right.
Okay. What was thank you, Jacob.
Okay, thank you. Wave to Jacob in Texas. Jacob Roman, okay.
What was the chapter and verse I heard?
Verse 4:3.
They asked when was Timothy written, approximately AD 65. I couldn't put my hand on the phone and look it up. So, 65, rough. Yeah, Tammy, go ahead, Tammy.
Well, it's interesting, he brings this up, because I shared this with someone recently, but it's towards the latter time, so it's like at the end, there's some depart from the family, so it's like more toward where we are now, you know, that, you know, commanding that people abstain from meat, which is exactly what's happening with the animal rights people.
Yes. So, what is the man, what does it mean to, which he alloweth, what does allow mean?
That you see, permits. You don't condemn it.
Permits?
And you permit
it. Don't condemn
what's going on in front of you.
Alright, so happiest man is not condemned. Then, verse 23, he that doubteth, what does doubt mean?
That's about what you're going to do.
Question, alright, there's a question about it. If you doubt what you're doing, what's true, you're damned. If you eat, what does damned mean?
Condemned.
Condemned and judged, absolutely. Condemned and judged. But you get different types of condemnation. Some is eternal judgment, but this is...
Yeah. This is just condemned.
Condemned, condemnation, condemning, or judging, and if he's... In other words, what does it mean? Give me an illustration of somebody that doubts something and he still eats it. Pastor Dan?
I mean, the point is, if somebody was unsure, second-guessing themselves, in the context of the born-again, genuinely born-again and saved believers that were in the true, genuine church in Rome, then if they had a question, if they had a doubt about whether they should eat this meat or not, they were second-guessing themselves, so well, I wonder if I should eat this or not. If they eat, if they have a weak kind, if they eat it, and they doubt whether or not, so it's, they can't eat in faith, then it's sin for them.
It's sin for them, very clear, isn't it? Bill?
Yeah, regardless of when the scripture was written, whether it's a transitional period, or if it's later than the transitional period, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, so therefore all of it is law for us. Anyway, so therefore, I guess it's one of those things where we have to study it a little more and possibly look a little deeper into the New Testament.
It's not written all to us, but all for us. Certainly it's for our admonition.
I mean the Old Testament. I mean the New Testament.
Yeah, New Testament. But if we believe in the dispensational picture of the thing, there's a transitional time, and we have to be sure that we're not using something that was true. For instance, the Lord Jesus' day, that's New Testament. But that's, we don't accept it for today because it's not under grace. It's under, you offer the kingdom, they rejected the kingdom. So all these different rules, Matthew chapter 5, for example, different things. Got to be very careful. That's why we have to have a dispensational understanding of the books of the Bible. Lois had something. Did you have something?
No.
Oh, okay, answer that.
So scriptures that say things like, take a little wine for the stomach's sake. Scriptures that talk about Christ's first miracle was changing the water to wine at a wedding feast. And scriptures that talk about how the Pharisees told Jesus, well, why, you know, this man, why do you want to be around this man? He, his friends are wine givers. So my question is this. If a Christian drinks wine or doesn't drink wine, isn't that under the category of what we're talking about right now? You're saying that no Christian should ever have alcohol. So what I'm saying is, how do you say that with those other scriptures and those other...
Well, for instance, the water into wine was grape juice. It wasn't alcoholic beverage.
That's
the first thing.
That's true.
It's pure
wine
grape juice.
Wine is wine. If it says the word wine, wait a minute.
If I go to buy a bottle of wine,
I'm going to walk into...
The scripture is not wine. It's oinos.
But oinos
can be either fermented or non-fermented. Old Testament, New Testament. And if it's non-fermented, that's grape juice. There's no problem with drinking grape juice.
Okay, where does it say in scripture?
Now, just a minute. You ask a question. Wait a minute. You ask a question. I want to answer it. When it said in a little wine for that stomach's sake, the stomach was filled with wicked stuff and poison. He was drinking this water. So take a little bit of this type of grape juice or some other thing for the stomach's sake, because of your stomach's sake, which is unfermented, and if it's not fermented. And so these things are certainly the thing we've got to wear. What I was saying is,
seven different places in Scripture that use the word nepho or nephalios. You look up the Greek word nepho or nephalios, it means abstaining from any alcoholic content. So Christians, whether pastors or deacons or old people or young people, in the New Testament we have seven different verses. You want to see them, I'll show them to you, where nepho is used. Therefore, knock out alcohol. Now, sometimes people have prescription of alcohol, but this is a recreational situation. We've got to be careful. Yeah, Dan, and Pastor Dan, and then Ted.
Well, Anderson, we look at the definition of what the word, English word, wine meant.
All right.
In the time our Bible was translated.
All right.
So why did King James...